My brothers, my sisters, welcome to another episode of In Klassen We Trust, the White Power Hour with Reverend Matt Hale. I am very pleased to be with you once again on this, the 26th of December, in the 28th year of creativity, or as the Christian calendar calls it, 2001. I'm very pleased to be with you as we, as always, resolutely and proudly proclaim our allegiance to the white race, our absolute loyalty to the white race, and our scorning and hatred of all those forces that today in this world militate against the survival of our beloved people. We have before us numerous individuals who are seeking to destroy you and I, individuals who utilize their governmental, economic, and media power to fleece and eventually destroy our great people. We know that the government has incredible power. They have shown that recently, in fact, in the war of Afghanistan, or with Afghanistan. And that, of course, we have witnessed numerous bombings of that country. We have witnessed the incredible technology that white brains, white know-how, has bequeathed or given to this government. And in fact, in some ways, perhaps the war in Afghanistan was partially waged in order to demonstrate to any who would oppose this government what this government is capable of. Perhaps indeed. But that does not change the fact that our people must be the guide, the framework of all of our actions. That what is best for white people is what must be done. What is good for the white race is the highest virtue, and what is bad for the white race is the ultimate sin. Period. Whatever power the Jewish occupational government of the United States may have does not negate our obligation to supplant that government or to make that government responsible and responsive to the interests of our beloved people. Like the government, the media is in the control of the Jews. The media, of course, will attack our beloved movement at every opportunity. The media will call yours truly all kinds of names, but I take tremendous pride in that. I take tremendous pride in the fact that I am perhaps one of the most attacked men in the media since Adolf Hitler. Except for Osama bin Laden. Let's say that I'm the most attacked man who is white, says perhaps Adolf Hitler, or George Lincoln Rockwell, and so forth. This is fine with me. For we have many days of fighting ahead. We have many days of triumphs and trials ahead. I intentionally, in fact, keep myself in very good shape, physically and mentally, to make sure that one day I will turn the tables with your help on those who would crudely and sickeningly attack me in their newspapers. I look forward to the day when we have absolutely turned the tables on our enemies, when we have turned the tables on those who would utilize their power to destroy our children. I look forward to the day when these scoundrels are driven from their offices, driven from their power, empty pockets and empty stomachs as a result of their actions. I look forward to the day when, say, a Time magazine or the New York Post or the New York Times or whatever media conglomerate, no matter what media power it may be, if they have a flagpole, I look forward to the day when our flag is hoisted on that pole. And I take great comfort in the fact and the knowledge that throughout history it has been those who have had the will who have won even more than those who had the temporary power who won. After all, as we creators, we white racial loyalists, well know, we are preaching the truth. We are preaching that which is verifiable through one's senses and through one's heart. While our enemies are preaching complete nonsense, illogical thinking, bizarre thinking, because of this comparison, because of this dichotomy, their lies will not last forever. The Jews who control this government and control the media also control this economy. Right now, they are utilizing that control to make sure that white people are thrown out of work, that mestizo, mongrel, Mexican invaders are brought in their place, and that the other mud races already in this land take your job, take your finances, take your home, and leave you at the back of the bus. The Jew Alan Greenspan, who deliberately manipulates the economy, all in the service of his Jewish tribe, knows full well what he is doing. The Jew financiers, the Jew speculators at Wall Street and other places know what they are doing. They are doing what they have done for thousands of years, deliberately seek to wreck your future. Oh, I know. I know what they will say. They will say that America is prosperous. It's the same way that a person might be, quote, prosperous, unquote, if there were 1,000 mosquitoes sucking his blood simultaneously. Sure, the body might be able to carry itself, but it is being drained, just like America today is being drained. We are being drained of our livelihood. We are being drained of our wealth. You know it as well as I. You know how it is that everything that used to be free and now is being charged for example. You know how difficult it is to get any kind of a city service without paying a high fee. You know what it's like to go to a movie theater and find the tickets to a movie are incredibly expensive now, or a play, or any other form of entertainment, a circus, whatever. You've probably noticed that it costs more to buy a new car. You've probably noticed that it costs more to have electricity and fuel for your home. You've noticed that it's like pulling teeth to get anyone to do anything, just out of the goodness of their heart. Now everybody is in a rat race to get as many pennies as possible, to fight over the scraps. That is what the Jews have reduced our people to. That is what they have forced us to do. And they wonder why we hate them. They expect to kick in the doors of our homes and expect us to smile. They expect us to allow the invasion of our land by the non-white races and proliferation of the enemy races within our land, and act surprised, and I note the word act, I stress the word act, surprised when, quote, anti-Semitism, unquote, rears itself. This is indeed awe and act. They know precisely what they are doing. And right now, they have a great deal of arrogance about them. Right now, the Jews are practically bragging and boasting about their power, It reminds me of what Ariel Sharon said a few weeks ago when he said during an Israeli cabinet meeting, "We control America." The Israeli Prime Minister said that. "We control America." He was that cocky to actually say that aloud. And to say that within the ability of others to transcribe it and to communicate it across the world. There are other Jews who have been cocky too. Many Jews are now admitting that they own Hollywood. Jews admit that they have a great deal of success, as they put it, in America. Of course, it's in the same way that a mosquito has success, sucking blood from its host. The Jews are saying that life is really great in America. But great for whom? For them. Not for you and I. What they have sought to do is make the decline of this country so gradual, so slow, that the people don't notice the decline. It reminds me of the old adage concerning the frog in the pot of water on a stove. If you have a boiling pot of water and you toss the frog into the pot, of course, he will jump out immediately. But if you have the frog inside the water and you slowly turn up the gas on the stove, the heat on the stove, that frog will burn to death. That's what the Jews are doing to us. Slowly, ever slowly, but surely, they are turning up that heat to the point where one day, or at least in their hopes, our white people will not realize what really happened. But will wake up and realize perhaps then, only after it's too late, that their country has been stolen from them. For example, first, the Jews made sure that blacks were in the fields of entertainment and sports. 100 years ago, in fact, this plan was hatched out to put blacks, niggers, in the fields of entertainment and sports. You know why? Because the Jews realized if niggers were entertaining white people, or running for white people, or playing basketball for white people, that white people would more soon embrace them. Because white people, after all, like to be entertained and like to engage in sports. Sports is an American pastime. Americans love sports. So throw the niggers into the sports field and Americans will embrace this tribe. They did a similar thing with the so-called civil rights movement. And notice that they always call it civil rights. Why not call it communist insurrection, which much of it was. Many of the individuals were communists. Martin Luther King was a communist. No, instead they called it civil rights. Because after all, everybody believes in civil rights. They knew that their goal of destroying the white race could not and would not happen overnight. So with method, with deliberation, they slowly brought the other races into our land, into our culture, to eventually have them in our beds and destroy our very genetic existence. Indeed, it may be hard to believe for those who are not initiated to our cause. It may be hard to believe that a tribe would be so cunning. But the Jews have not been hated throughout history for nothing. The Jews have not been resisted by every European country for nothing. The Jews have not suffered pogroms, holocausts, persecutions, which we like to say prosecutions, for nothing. They have made themselves enemies of our people. To this day, those who most heavily promote the non-white races are of the Jewish tribe. For example, in the 1960s, in the 1950s, 3/4 of the funding for the civil rights movement came from the Jews. This is a historical fact. It's a book by, I believe his name is Kaufman, Thomas Kaufman or something like that, in which he details this funding. Today, of course, the most vocal proponents of integration and race mixing are the Jews, the same Jews who practice themselves racial separatism in the state of Israel. These swine have power over us now, but their power is being broken in our own slow and sure way. What happened on September 11th has opened many eyes. Not enough, but has opened eyes to the fact that America is under attack. Well, we've been saying that America is under attack for a long time. We have pointed out, we of the World Church of the Creator have pointed out for many years that America is under attack from within. The enemies of our people, white people, and hence America, since white people, after all, built America, are within. Your blacks, your browns, your Jews, your Orientals, your mestizos, your non-whites are our enemies, as well as any government, including this government, that coddles them against your interests. They have power, but do they have passion? Ultimately, it will not be those who have the power, necessarily, today that will win. It will be those who have the passion, more passion than the enemies of our people. Will you, my brother and sister, have the passion to go forth into the world and make sure that others think like you? To make sure that you proselytize every day of the week, every day of the year, our holy cause. Will you have the passion to create the precondition for the removal of our enemies from our shores? We are at war, but we've been at war for a long time. The enemy is the non-white races in the United States government, especially the Jews that back both. Do not tell us to worry about Afghanistan. We will not worry about Bosnia. We will not worry about Somalia. We are concerned about right here, the nigger gangbanger on the street, the Jew criminals who manipulate the economy and the government and the media like a knife against your heart. The Latino invader who demands that you speak Spanish to oblige him. Just today, I was at a store, local store, and picked up an item and half of it was in Spanish. I felt sick. As all white people should feel sick. Not that Spanish is a bad language. Spanish from Spain, of the white people of Spain, that's one thing. But this mestizo mongrel Spanish that is on our products, on our signs, on billboards, etc., to oblige invaders of this land, we have a problem with. And we don't accept the notion that just because some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. chose to make a citizen out of Rodriguez, who invaded this country, that does not mean that we embrace him. He remains our enemy. Now, there has been a lot of talk, of course, a lot of individuals ask questions of our World Church of the Creator, and we are happy to field those questions. We are happy to have those questions put to us. One of the questions that has been asked, well, gosh, will you use force? You're talking about using force to deport the non-white races, aren't you? If they don't go willingly. When we become the power, as we must resolve that we will, when we become the power and we pass laws mandating that the mud races be thrown out of this land, if they don't go willingly, they will be destroyed. Any who would violate our laws, laws of our making, laws that say that the non-white invaders must leave America, obviously, they will pay if they refuse. Let there be no mistake, as always. We will come to power legally. Absolutely legally. We can, we should, and we must do so. And this, in fact, is what frightens the foes of white racial loyalty. They're not frightened by an individual going out and shooting a nigger here and there. That doesn't mean anything to this established order except good things, because it puts another white racial loyalist behind bars. They probably, in fact, like it when Jerome Jackson gets shot by, say, a skinhead on the street corner. But don't make our enemies happy. Don't violate the law. There's no reason to violate the law. Look at it from the broad perspective. Are you more advantageous to the cause free or in jail or dead? I think the answer is quite clear. No. Don't put a gun in your pocket and attack non-whites. Of course, it happens extremely rarely, as we all know. But don't do it in any case. Instead, put on a shirt and tie and go door to door and preach creativity. Pass out literature door to door promoting white racial loyalty. Hone your skills in communication. Teach yourself the racial loyalist cause. Learn how to debate your foes through practice. And become a missionary, a proselytizer. That is what we must do. Not play by the enemy's game in that sense, or what they actually desire that we do. How frightened they are at the World Church of the Creator has a legal message. How frightened they are, for example, in the various bar committees, when I tell them that we will come to power legally, entirely peacefully, that we will not initiate any violence or illegalities. They, in fact, wrote that in the first decision denying me a law license in the state of Illinois. They basically admitted that there was no evidence of criminal wrongdoing on my part, and that they were concerned that, like Hitler, as they put it, I could come to power legally. How flattering, I must say, that the gentleman would compare me to that man. How flattering that they would make that proclamation in print for eternity and say that they need to deny me a law license because of it. They made me into a martyr, in a sense, a victim. So be it, for it opened many eyes. And this is always good. We have to realize that we must be willing to take it on the chin now and then for the greater good. We must be willing and ready to force the issue to make sure that those individuals who hate our great cause and hate our great people wish to persecute us, let us make it happen in a public forum. Let us show the light of day to their persecutions to further alienate and disillusion the public. Let us show that the Jews are not all about freedom and civil rights, but are instead interested in fleecing this land and only use civil rights and freedoms as a cover for their plans. Let us show that the supposedly benevolent United States government is far from that. Let us show the people that the state governments, including the state of Illinois, is a vast, corrupt bureaucracy that wants to deny me the freedoms that it says are available to all citizens. Let us show, in fact, through that process, that what they're really interested in doing is emasculating the white race, is subjugating the white race, and making the white race simply another serf in its empire. So be it. My brothers and sisters, as I have said many a time, and I will say again, we have the most important cause before us that the world has ever known. This cause supersedes all other causes in importance. There is nothing even comparable to this cause, whether it's the Revolutionary War in this country, or the Civil War, or World War II, or World War I, or Vietnam, or the French Revolution, or any cause in the history of the world. None have even come close to the importance of saving our very biological existence as right now, as I speak, being threatened. Every year, there are fewer white people and more non-whites. Every year, there is more race mixing and hence contamination and destruction of our bloodlines by the inferior garbage races. Every year, the Jews grow stronger and white people grow weaker. Every year, what was our country becomes New Mexico, or New Africa, or New Vietnam, New Saigon, what have you. Every year, what is rightfully yours and mine is being taken from us, while our own white people are standing smiling at the theft, or at least confused about the theft. It's like a burglar just barging into a home and the people inside the home saying, well, take this, take that, and be sure to watch your step on the way out, Mr. Burglar. Because after all, this is our home, sure, but it's your home too. You're a free citizen, you have a right to this home too. What insanity. Did the politicians ever ask you and I if we wanted mestizos in America? Did the politicians ever ask you and I whether it's good for America to allow these invaders, legal and illegal, into this country? Did the powers that be ever say, hello, Mr. Citizen, we'd like to know what you think about giving $20 billion a year to Israel? Oh, I'm sure. Sure that they... I know that they never have come to you and I. While you look in your cupboard and marvel at the expense that you have to put into purchasing your existence, to sustaining your existence, look in that cupboard and say to yourself how much more food you would have in it if your government, if this Jewish government, Jewish occupied government with white traitors fronting for it, did not support the state of Israel to the tune of $20 billion a year. When you get in your car imagine perhaps you would have a nicer car. Perhaps a car that would start right off the bat. Perhaps a car at all. If your government, this treasonous government, did not support the other countries at our expense. When you go to the grocery store and you see the welfare nigger in front of you in line, ask yourself how much better spent the money would be in your pocket rather than that social parasite. We have to take a quick break. We will be right back. Ask yourself this question. Ask yourself these questions. How much better would you be if you had a true government ahead of you or above you? A true white racial loyalist government. A government that seeks your interests in all things and at all times. A government that is not worrying about the starving children, so-called, of Afghanistan. A government that is not worrying about Israelis. A government that is not worrying about starving niggers in Africa who can't feed themselves and therefore should not be subsidized, obviously, by us. What if you had a government that instead of taxing you 40% or 30 to 40% of your income was taxing you at 5% of your income? You think that's impossible? Not even close. Not even close to being impossible. It could be probable and done very easily if you had a government that was not a den of traitors. A government that cared about you. Not simply because you had a vote, but cared about you as a flesh and blood person. A government that cared about you as a brother or a sister. Or the only government that will give you these things. The only government that will give you that satisfaction and that love is a white racial loyalist government. And the only way there will ever be a white racial loyalist government is through the actions, through your support of the World Church of the Creator. The only way there will ever be a light at the end of the tunnel, or in fact, daylight at the end of darkness, is for you to support the World Church of the Creator. This country is heading towards open war. This country will break apart, and we will witness the Second Civil War in a bloody, violent sense, unless you and I band together now, fanatically, fervently, for this cause. Each and every white man, woman, and child must make his or her decision. Are they going to be loyal to the white race or a traitor to the white race? There is not, there will be not, any in-betweens. Mr. In-Between straddling that fence. It is time to make up their minds. You who are listening to this program have made up your mind. I have made up my mind. But we have to make sure that the others, our people who are cruelly being abused right now, who are being plucked of their feathers without even knowing, without even realizing what is happening to them as this country becomes more and more flooded with the third world scum, they have to be alerted and educated and agitated and inspired to stand up. Stand up in the streets, stand up at the public library, stand up at the street demonstrations, stand up everywhere and proclaim that no way they, you and I, we, will not allow this thievery of our land, of our birthright, of our future to continue. We have made great gains this past year. This past year, our church has gone forward strongly. It can go forward even more through your efforts, through your love, through your incredible fanaticism. You have to want victory more than your enemies. If you want it more, you will have it. If you don't, they will win due to the sheer weight of their power. Do not let them win by default. Do not let them win because you didn't care enough. Show them that you care. Show your white people how much you care about this cause. Show them in your heart your love for them, and they will listen. Our white people may be slow to take action historically, but once they know that you are for them, once they know that you are sincere, once they know that you offer something better than the current order, they will follow you. They will follow our flag. They will follow our triumphant march to victory. This year has been good. Next year, this coming year will be even better. And the following will be better still. I envision much total victory for our cause. I envision more and more creators, more and more white racial loyalists speaking as I am speaking right now. Speaking at the public library, speaking at the street demonstrations, speaking in front of City Hall, speaking in front of courthouses, speaking wherever you possibly can to those who need to hear your voice. Your voice of sincerity. Your voice of freedom. This is a war of freedom versus slavery. A war to liberate our people from the clutches of its enemies. A war to stop this domination of our land, domination of our lives. We reject any authority other than our own. We reject any doctrine other than our own. We reject any idea that a mongrel piece of garbage is somehow our kin. But instead embrace all white people around this world. Our flag is being flown in many places right now. Our adherents around the world have their flags in their living rooms, in their parlors, in their dining rooms, where have you. Those flags must be now on the street. Those flags must wave and etch a permanent track upon the minds of our people everywhere. Our flag must be hoisted high, must be waved, must be shown. We are chipping away at the power of the Jewish occupational government, the Jewish-controlled media. This show itself is a sign of our chipping away at the media power. The internet itself was a bad thing for the Jews. One of the worst things for the Jews in recent memory in some ways. Because it enabled we white racial loyalists to reach you. It enabled white racial loyalists to communicate instantly and easily to one another. And the Jews cannot put this cat back in the box. Or this jack back in the box, or this cat back in the bag. The Jews cannot unring this bell. September 11th has turned out to be an eye-opener, as I have stated. But it must be pursued with vigor why this country was attacked. The people are very angry about September 11th, and justifiably so. Let us channel that anger towards those who are most responsible, the Jews and this Jew lackey government that allowed the struggles the violence of the Middle East to find its way to America, who allowed the insane invasion of our land by the mud races, and then act as if it's not responsible when the mud races cause havoc from within. Do not let the United States government get off the hook or escape judgment. They must be held responsible for what happened. And the Israelis, who knew in advance that this was going to happen and possibly, if not probably, orchestrated these attacks as well, that fuel or that fan of hatred for these Jews must be fueled and fanned by you. As our founder Ben Clausen said, intense hatred of the Jew is the beginning of the white man's liberation. So true. You cannot love your race without hating its enemies. Not truly. For the man who would stand by and watch his wife be raped by an intruder does not truly love his wife. For if he did, he would resist that attack through all available means. If someone tries to rape your wife, your sister, your daughter, what have you, you have a duty to stop that man, to stop that attacker. And so too do we have a duty to stop those who seek to rape our people, those who seek to tear us apart, to destroy our culture, to niggerify, for example, our culture as it is being done right now, those who would seek to replace our great culture with that of misfits, those who would seek to take your money from your pockets and give it to your enemies, those who would demand that you speak Spanish in order to exist in your own country, those who would forget the struggles, the blood that white people shed to make this a white land, who drove the Indians off the land, who would forbid the non-whites from even coming here for a long time only to submit to the corporate interests, those who would seek to forget the struggles that went into building America should be ashamed of themselves and should be resisted. My brothers and sisters, this will do it for this week's episode of In Clausen We Trust. I hope that you have enjoyed this program. As usual, I did this program ad lib. That is my normal modus operandi. I hope that you will join with the World Church of the Creator today, if you have not already done so. Go to www.creator.org. Find yourself the membership application there and join our ranks. If you do not wish to join as a member due to the activities that are required of you and discipline, you can become an official supporter, and that is likewise most needed and desired. We need each and every white man, woman, and child to join with us. Those who believe need to join with us in one means, one manner, or another. This is not the time to wait for things to get better or worse. The time is now to organize, to proselytize, to build our church in areas and neighborhoods and communities all across this world. You do not need, in other words, world headquarters, really, to do so. Form your own church group, recruit your neighbor, recruit your friends, become a minister in the church. Spread our gospel far and wide. Do not be bashful. Do not allow the anticipated disagreement with our cause to stop you from saying what you know to be right and must be said. It does not matter what the reaction is as far as what you have to say. You can tell someone about your belief in the white race and they can laugh at you, but that doesn't matter. They can tell you that you were wrong. They can tell you that you're evil. They can tell you that you were bad in any other way. It doesn't matter so much what they say, it matters what you say, what you do. Next week I will be issuing, if everything goes according to plan as it should, my State of the Church address. I have done this once before. I will be doing this every January. In fact, as long as I am Pontifex Maximus in our battle for power in this world. I think that you will find my comments inspiring and enjoyable. This will do it for this week's, not message, I'm used to saying that, this week's program of In Clausen We Trust. I hope that all of you have a very happy West Victory Day on December 29th to commemorate. That's one of our holidays, a replacement for Christmas, for those of you who would like a replacement. West Victory Day celebrates the Battle of Wounded Knee Creek in 1890. It was the last organized Indian resistance to the white man in America, and white people, the white army, triumphed decisively at that battle. And we celebrate the event by giving gifts, by having your evergreen tree. Santa Claus can be part of the picture. All of this is quite fine in keeping with the traditions of our pagan European ancestors. This is fine. I hope you have a great West Victory Day, great holidays, and I look forward to speaking before you in the very near future. Let us win this racial holy war. Rahoah!